Hi, Zane. This is Ben with the Northwest Observer.
Hey, Ben. How's it going today?
Pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, not too hot yet. But...
Yeah, I know. Looks like we got a scorcher coming up for the weekend.
Yeah, it'll be overblown, but does seem like it's going to be hot, even if it isn't quite, I don't know, 120 degrees. It might certainly be the hundreds or something like that. But
yeah, yeah. Definitely going to try to stay in the AC.
Well, Ben, I appreciate you taking some time to talk with me today. Just working on a story, kind of looking at the Northwest Observer, because, you know, it's certainly a new news organization, or maybe a year old at this point, but just getting off the ground here. And, you know, obviously there's some other reasons why it could be relevant too, but I think I'd be first just like to ask you about, you know, what the website is, what the goal is, what, you know, you're hoping to provide to readers and, you know, things like that.
Yeah, just hoping to provide an alternative perspective on some stuff in Oregon. So we try to focus on Oregon news. A lot of people try to focus on national stuff these days. So, and it ends up, you know, a lot of it can be focused on the legislature, but that's not the only thing. We try to keep our eye on other stuff too. And so getting volunteer contributions, I kind of got to roll with what I get.
When you say, you know, an alternative perspective, I'm guessing, is it fair to say it's maybe a more conservative perspective than, you know, the quote-unquote liberal media?
I mean, yeah, somewhat. You know, I consider myself a classic liberal, so I mean, I appreciate liberalism per se, but yeah, just you know, there's things that we cover that and tactics that I use that maybe KGW did an article on a bill that was getting passed the other day, and you know, they don't even mention the bill number or anything. So I try to just be really astute about making sure that we, you know, plug people in with the seminal documents and the actual source. So it's just kind of, I try to work on that anyways. It's not always easy, of course, that there's so much going on all the time, especially in Oregon these days.
Yeah. Well, how did you get involved in the paper, or the website?
Well, so I've known, you're obviously cued into the Mike Nearman's our publisher. So that's kind of what everybody's focused on, but you can largely put a lot of this on me. I've been involved in some politics, just kind of volunteering and get involved in stuff for a number of years now. And so I'm a seventh generation Oregonian, and my great 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 grandfather is one of the founders of Oregon, and his name is in the Senate gallery. He was a Baptist abolitionist, Reverend Ezra Fisher, and so he was in my mind kind of a journalist too. So I've been trying to come up with this kind of project for years, and it just kind of took form last year. And, you know, so me and Mike kind of decided how to do this and how to go about it. He's a software engineer, so he's really the one that's made a lot of it possible just by teaching me the tools to do everything. I've always kind of been a bit of a journalist ever since high school, but I've always been kind of a libertarian, independent type guy. But, yeah, I count myself as a conservative these days, I guess, because I've been running a business in Oregon for the last 9 years, so kind of just slipped into that perspective.
It's interesting you mentioned that. I think the Oregonian and maybe some state lawmakers have, you know, looked at the business records and figured out, you know, who had registered the Observer to state records, which was like, Is this for you? Do you guys see this as a money making venture? As a
no
volunteer hobby?
me.
How do you do that?
Yeah, more than a hobby, you know. I feel like it's kind of a calling. I'm inspired a lot by my family heritage here. So it's not a money-making venture. We do not really expect to do anything in that regards. I mean, that would be nice someday, maybe, but it's more of just civic duty, maybe, on is how I feel about it.
Well, tell me more about why it feels like civic duty, because, you know, if I understand you, you sound like you're working for free, and it is work to write articles and to edit articles.
Yeah, I've learned some nice skills learning how to do this, but I've always been a bit of a writer, but now learning the coding and stuff is pretty neat. I grew up, I'm 42 now, and I grew up kind of apathetic to some politics and stuff. So I dug into my family history and just became very inspired and felt like I just needed to do more to just challenge myself, and there's not a lot of people that really that there's oftentimes stories that go uncovered and stuff in the media. I'm not too familiar with your work, but of course it's just stuff, some stuff just gets glanced over, even if we had twice the journalists in the area, probably stuff would still get missed. So I feel like it's a civic duty, and well, it's really fun too. It's like what I like paying attention to news and stuff anyways. I hope to inspire others by doing it.
Yeah. Gotcha. Well, that's good to know. Are you writing for the website, the news website, or are you just editing?
Oh, no, I write a lot, yeah. So you won't see my name on a lot of articles. I've been kind of the target of, you know, I've gotten some masked phone calls from Antifa and stuff in the past, and so that's been kind of frustrating. So I decided to write under pseudonyms, and so I'm either under there's a couple different names maybe I use, the staff reports kind of keeps it ambiguous. That seems to be the best tactic right now. I have a 6-month-old and I'm just a little tired of the real aggressive, politics, but I still think it's fair to cover some of these stories.
Yeah, no, I certainly, frustrating to hear about any sort of harassment that you've experienced, Ben, and I've had people be unpolite or, you know, unthreatening comments on social media or my email, and so I can empathize with that, and it's certainly not something that I want to encourage. I do
right.
Feel you talking to me about it, but I don't necessarily think this is going to be, I certainly wouldn't want to write an article that's going to encouraging them to
be
negative.
No, and I don't care if, I mean, my name is out there sometimes. I've some circles know me and stuff, so I mean, I don't care if you use my name or whatever, but.
Okay. I got you. And, I guess one of the things that is interesting is it feels like Mike is writing some of these articles too, and, you know, it is commenting on the legislature and things like that.
Well, yeah, he's well versed in the legislature, so he contributes. It's not, by all means, it's not just him or wholly him. I'm largely responsible for it, but the tactics we use is for a reason, of course. He occasionally writes for us. So I have to edit his stuff. I have to edit other people's stuff, and you know, people especially on social media aren't so careful with their spelling and grammar and whatnot these days. So that's a lot of work sometimes. But sometimes you just got to rephrase stuff.
Yeah, I well, if in computer coding, like you have to be pretty careful about the order of like the periods and the brackets, or you'll just break the whole website.
Yeah.
Too much worked at it.
Yeah, yeah. No, he's definitely taught me some of that, and it's pretty fun to learn. And it's I like how I, you know, a finished article is kind of like art now for me. I'm sure you understand that.
Well, it's like art until your editor comes in and changes things.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, I'm sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah, I was a high school newspaper and yearbook editor, so I had a little practice at it back in the day. I think writing and journaling is very important, and you gotta kind of stay at it and develop your craft to really get the most out of it.
Yeah. Well, I really appreciate you talking with me. Those are my main questions. I think, you know, the frame of this article is there's obviously this very high profile former lawmaker, Mike Hammond.
Sure.
Who's been doing this both as a lawmaker and now not as a lawmaker.
Sure.
And so I'm not saying it's just him. I'm well aware that you're involved and other people are involved too. Like,
yes.
And I think Bruce Armstrong. I subscribe to your guys' emails. I'm interested in. I like yourself, I like to get news from a lot of different sources.
Yeah, yeah, totally. I may not agree with Willamette Week all the time, but I like to check their articles, and you guys are pretty good too. So you're with Pamplin Media, right? Or Portland Tribune?
Yep.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah. We all cover different things, and I think that's needed.
Yeah, I don't do a lot of State House coverage, primarily with Peter Wong, but he's very well versed, and I personally think that he's not allowed to skip over the details and really does try to give people a lot of information in his articles, which
good.
Hopefully people prefer. But, yeah, I mean, I guess the only other, you know, I think it's fair to say that Mike Hammond has supporters and he has detractors. And,
yeah.
You know, I think the criticism that I could imagine someone reading this article if they didn't like him would be, you know, he's biased because obviously he's a lawmaker himself, or he was, and you know that it's not, you know, or that it's biased or slanted. I mean, or you know, going behind the lawmaker's back and saying that their bill is bad, you know, on his website or something like
that.
Yeah, we think that's fair criticism, or not.
Yeah, we try to avoid, you know, opinion. Everybody tries to fit their opinion into stuff, and so. Try to avoid that, but it happens throughout all media, I think, at least some.
You know, and I don't know if you do the headlines, but certainly the headlines are sometimes attention-grabbing, right? Like, you know, ADUs and, you know, the headline is ghettos, right? I mean, it's not coming entirely from nowhere.
Yeah, yeah, it happens, and it happens for various reasons, but... that's where you catch your get your readers pulled in the first place, I think. And
yeah, well, fair enough. I certainly do want to thank you for your time, and sure that people will check out the website if they haven't heard of it already when they see this article. So
I appreciate it. Thank you. Yeah, feel free to reach out to me anytime. I love. Chatting and talking and sharing different perspectives, and I think that that people need to have a dialogue these days. It's probably, as they say, you know, social media has kind of really driven a lot of division and stuff and polarization. And I think people need to more focus on what they have in common than what they have in difference. And maybe we'd start to see a little. Less rowdy world, maybe, but it's important to have a dialogue.
Certainly. And just you prefer Ben Fisher or Benjamin Fisher?
Ben, preferably.
Okay. One last thing. Do you guys do it all online? Do you guys have an office space, or just meeting over, you know, one of those Teams or Zoom or something like that?
No, pretty much. No, pretty much all online. It's easy enough these days.
Yeah. All right, sir. Well, I appreciate your
Let's see. Yeah, I mean, I would stress, you know, it's kind of everybody they try to focus on who's writing it. And as far as, you know, Mike's concerned, I think it's more important of our content versus who it might be. And I'm not as well known as Mike, so I mean, I don't get credit for some of the things that I do, and people think that he's doing everything, but, you know, I think the content's the most important part.
Yeah. Okay, understood. Well, thank you, sir.
Hey,
have a good day.
Thank you, Zane. Okay, you too.
All right.
Bye.